Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from the sixth chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You may be seated. Please pray with me. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort and a word of challenge, a word of hope and a word of guidance for our lives. Make our hearts soft and plant your word in us that it may bear fruit through our lives. Amen. Well, you may have noticed this morning at a quick pass at these readings, the words of Solomon in Proverbs 3 and the words of Jesus in the gospel could seem to be a bit contradictory. Did anybody else catch that? For example, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." And yet in Proverbs, there's this pretty wonderful sounding promise. "Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Now, I'm not going to lie, that sounds pretty great, right? I mean, to have your barn filled with plenty and your vat bursting with wine, that would definitely change the dinnertime dynamic at the Brecht household. Should we open this bottle of wine? Nah, just go out back to the vat and get us, right? But seriously, what's going on here? They seem to be at odds at first. But the thing is, the operative word in Proverbs is the word then. Then, right? It starts with trust in the Lord with all your heart. Honor God with the first fruits of your harvest. And then you will have all that you need. Then you will experience the abundance of God in your life. Or as Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, where your trust is, there your heart will be also. So this week we continue talking about our fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5, and this week's word is, of course, generosity. But generosity, I think, is a complex word. It can mean different things, right? Especially if you think about it in the context of being a fruit of the Spirit. And in the church, I think sometimes we reserve the word generosity just for certain seasons of the year, stewardship season. It becomes like a holiday decoration, like at Christmas. Like you pull it out for the season and the rest of the year, it lives in the basement in a bin. And sometimes I think we treat the word generosity that way, only pulling it out for a season. But then the problem is, as soon as you hear me say that word, generosity, you think, oh boy, the pastor's going to ask us for money, right? Well, don't worry. Generosity is much broader than just that. Also, don't worry, because I will probably ask you for money. It's stewardship season, after all. But seriously, when I think of the word generosity, I always think of God. I always think of Jesus. I mean, who was more generous than Jesus? That's the picture we have. And if the goal of discipleship is to become more like the rabbi, then growing in generosity is literally becoming more Christ-like in our lives. And see, generosity isn't something that we just have or we don't have, or someone just is or is not, right? It's like other aspects of our spiritual life where we grow and we develop over time in our spiritual journey. It's this gift that grows in us along with our faith. And as I was thinking about it this week, I thought back on my own life, my own journey. When I was a kid, we didn't talk much about generosity in my family. I don't ever remember that word coming up. My parents were not what one might call generous with their finances toward the church or anything really, but that's because they were just scraping by when I was a kid. I was born when they were quite young. My dad was a farmer just starting out. When I was a kid, I remember my mom was still in school trying to become a nurse, and they were raising me at the same time. And I'm sure I was the perfect baby and the most perfectly behaved toddler, right? But it was still a challenge at times. They had very little materially. And yet I watched them exemplify generosity in so many other ways. They were always generous to help a neighbor in need. They were the kind of people that were always generous with their time when someone needed something. I watched my parents volunteer at our church for virtually everything. They were teaching, they were leading youth ministry, music ministry, whatever it was. My mom coached almost every sport that was available in our small town at some point because she loved giving her time to the kids and the families and the community. And as I think about my own journey of generosity, early on in my adult life, I was happy to be generous in the same way. And all these things, everything except my money, especially when it came to the church. When I was younger, I thought, I'm giving my time, I'm giving my talent, I'm participating. Someone else can do the money thing. But over time, God has changed my perspective dramatically. And there are two events in my life that I look back on that were really transformative for me. And the first was many years ago when I was on internship as a pastor of seminary, and you do a year-long internship. It was in the small town of Milton, Wisconsin, at a little church called Hope Lutheran Church. Gail and I started that year. We moved to Milton with just one kid, but we ended that year leaving Milton with three kids because we got the two-for-one special and had twins. Which was joyful, but we were terrified. We had no idea how we were going to pay for this and all the things they needed. It turns out you cannot physically fit three car seats in the back of a 97 Honda Accord. We were so scared. But that church saw the need and they responded with generosity we could have never imagined. And they did that not just for us, and I watched them throughout that year do that for other ministries in the community, other needs that came up over and over again, being generous as God had been generous to them. I was humbled. I was in awe. I was changed by that experience of receiving their generosity. And then the other thing I could point back to in my life that was really transformative was a few years ago here at Good Shepherd, when we were going through some difficult financial times here, and we were afraid that we might have to cut some vital ministries, but I believed so much in the vision, the mission God had put on the heart of this church, and I still remember seeing this visual representation, this graph that someone had put together about different levels of giving. It was similar to what we have on the back of the handout this week. And I remember seeing where my family fell on there and realizing how easily we could do more. And then looking deeper and realizing how possible it would be for us to do a lot more. And God was stirring something in me, so we did. And I know a lot of others did at that time as well. And I'm so thankful to be a part of what God is doing in this place. But as I look back on that time, you know what I never did? I never sat down with our family together to talk about it, to pray about it. And that's something I want to remedy this year and encourage all of us to do. I mean, when I look back on my childhood, I'm grateful to have witnessed my parents' generosity in all of the actions that I saw. But I never knew where their hearts were in terms of their financial generosity with the church. And if we want to grow this, if it's a spiritual fruit, right? If we want to grow that, we need to talk about it with our families. Pass on that aspect of discipleship to the next generation. That's so important. Because you see, to be generous is to be joyful. To be generous is to be joyful. I mean, think about the people that you know in your life that are most generous. Picture someone in your mind right now. When you picture that person, is it someone that's always got a frown on their face and is grouchy? Probably not, right? When I think of the people that I know that are very generous, they're also some of the most joyful people I know. And the reason is because generosity isn't just an action, it's a state of being. It's a state of the heart. It's an attitude, a posture toward others. And so as we think about this fruit of the Spirit, in addition to material things, I want us to think about what are the other ways God invites us to be generous, right? Some of the kids named some of these this morning. We can be generous with our time, right? Helping others, doing dishes for mom and dad, helping a neighbor. We can be generous with our care, maybe providing that listening, caring ear to a friend or a coworker who's struggling or providing a meal to someone who's going through a crisis right now. We can be generous in our forgiveness, being quick to forgive others. We can be generous with our kindness as we spread that around in the world. I wonder, what would it look like to bear the spiritual fruit of generosity in our words? How might a posture of generosity change the way that we talk about people or think about other people? Or how about this one? What if we filtered all of our social media activity through the spiritual lens of kindness and generosity? How might that change things? I mean, what would it look like to think, speak, comment, post with generosity toward even the other side, the other perspective, especially during this season that's so swirling with anxiety, right? From personal experience right now, there's a sense of peace and freedom when you try to live into that. It's beautiful. So as we think about generosity this week, I want to pose three questions for you to consider and take with you. The first is this: what gets in the way of generosity? What is it that gets in the way? When I think about this, for me, sometimes it's scarcity. I joke with M&Ms, but in all seriousness, will there be enough, right? And there's also a sense of fear and worry that carries that. What gets in the way for you? The second question is this: what unlocks generosity then? What opens our hearts up to be free to do that? I think it goes back to Proverbs chapter 3, trust in God. Trusting in God for our daily bread to provide for our needs frees us up to share. Compassion, I think, unlocks generosity when you see the needs and the struggles of others and you want to make a difference. Prayer and relationships, all these things help unlock generosity inside us. And then the third question to think about is this: what does being generous unlock inside us? What does that do in our own hearts? As I thought about it this week, I realized that when I'm at my most generous, it seems to also unlock things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You see where I'm going with this, friends? Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is it just me, or does it seem like generosity actually opens up and unlocks all these other fruits of the Spirit and helps them grow like some sort of super fertilizer, and vice versa? But going back to the beginning, when I think of generosity, I think of the greatest act of generosity we've ever known, and that is Jesus, right? The gift of Jesus and all he has done for us. The Son of God giving up heaven and taking on human flesh and all the struggles and pain and risk that meant, and ultimately giving his very self, his life for you, for me, so that we might have true abundant life, that we might come to receive the greatest treasure of all, the love of God, a love that is infinitely generous, a love that will never forsake us or leave us, a love whose deepest desire is to provide for our needs and see us flourish. When I think of all that Jesus has done for me, all that God has given me, life and breath and love and family and community, I wonder, how can I hold anything back? Because to be generous, friends, is to be joyful. And to grow in generosity is to become more like Jesus, the one who was infinitely generous toward us. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for all that you have given us. I mean, you give us life and breath and all that we are and all that we have. You provide for our needs. And so, God, help us to see where we might live out this generosity toward others in the world around us, whether that's in our schools, our communities, our neighborhoods, or here in our church. God, lead us and guide us that we would be faithful, that we would trust in you, and that we would experience the joy of this spiritual gift of generosity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.